This message is brought to you by the friends and partners of Elijah Amusan Ministry International. Be blessed as you listen.
Died for the ungodly. We were ungodly. We had no portion with Israel. We are alienated from the commonwealth of Zion. We are without God and we have no hope in God. But God was rich in mercy. In that while he died, we died with him. And we were quickened together with him. And you and him made alive who was once dead in sins and trespasses. Father, we thank you. Oh, what a love. Apostle John was so perplexed. He had no word to explain. He says, behold what manner of love that the Father has lavishly supplied upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. He says, now are we the sons of God, not tomorrow. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Lord. What a love. Jeremiah 31 verse 3 says, with an everlasting love has he drawn us, and with his loving kindness has he loved us. His love is irrevocable, perpetual, everlasting, eternal, unchanging. What a God. Heaven was not enough for him to stay. The heart was not enough for him to stay. He chose to live in us. We became his permanent abode. We are God's permanent home address. He lives in us forever. What a privilege. Oh, thank you, Father. We give you praise for this. Father God, we thank you. Now again, we are gathered around your word to receive wisdom from your word. Our hearts and our minds are opened. We receive your word with meekness. We set apart every superfluity of naughtiness. Father, let your word do an internal and eternal work in our hearts. Let the ancient word impart. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Put your hands together to our worship team. Let's celebrate them. Come on. Come on, we can do better than that. Let's celebrate our worship team. Thank you. Hallelujah. So glad to see you all. Amen. Oh my God. You all are just looking like your Father God. Mama, mama. Look at some of your faces. I feel like there. Oh my gosh. Some of you all, you have to lend me some of your powders and, you know, and massacre and, you know, or what do you call those things? Praise God. Hallelujah. You're welcome to church. Amen. The interesting thing is, this month, we're going to be doing a very serious, I'm very careful with my words. I said serious. Why? Because a lot of church try to shy away from these topics. So, today and next Sunday, we'll be talking about love, courtship, and sex. Somebody say sex. Say it louder. Very important. Yeah, you can say hallelujah again to it. Very important. Then, on the 16th of this same month, we're going to be talking about marriage. I titled it Marriage 101. Then, on the 23rd, we'll be talking about successful parenting. Amen. Then, sometime in the year, we'll talk about some gray area about world view. Bible worldview, biblical worldview. Because you see, as a pastor, by the grace of God, I've been doing this for over 10 years, and among young people like myself. The world is fast moving on a very serious pace. We're in a very high-tech world. And you see, let me tell you, anytime I stand on this pulpit, I mean on this stage to share God's word with you, I am seeing you as a global individual. So I don't treat you like somebody who is living in Kefi. I'm treating you as someone who one day, for one reason, might be in the United States, might be in Florida, where you have a lot of things that will challenge your faith. Where you have serious social issues right now in the world. If you are conversant with the trends right now, you know that we are in perilous times. Issues that touches atheism, agnosticism, even LGBTs. The reason why it's not making the head news is because this is Nigeria. We are a cultural people and we respect culture. But when you go out there in the world, maybe you are in a conference and the individual you are going to spend a whole week with in that conference, maybe in New York, right in the same hotel, is a gay. And he tells you that it was made that way. And you have a lot of people who will challenge very brilliant stuff. Junks that will be brilliantly packaged. You know, let me say this to you. You know, a few weeks ago, my younger brother posted something on his status. Very brilliant speech by a particular lady that was proving from psychological standpoint that every man is polygamous in nature. And he was giving scientific fact. These are things that can sweep you off your feet if you are not rooted. So, we live in perilous times. And you see, these are some of the things that one of these Sundays, not this month, we're going to be treating this thing from the very root. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. I remember I shared with you last year, my friend in the New York introduced his girlfriend to me. And she's a single mom. She's what's one of these doctors that take care of animals? She's a vet. So the son, she's a single mom. She's actually she's American, but what's one of these people that live in this Asia? I can't remember anyway. So the problem is, as a single mom, the son is asthmatic. So I saw all the gadgets on the baby. So I said, okay, let's do a video chat so that I'll pray for the baby and the baby will be healed. I did that and the baby was healed. Amen. So when I was done praying with her, so I said to her, I said, hey, have you heard about Jesus? Why don't you go to the nearest church near you somewhere in the New York? How about if I try to, you know, because sometimes I have a lot of friends who travel out and they tell me, Pastor, can you tell me what church to attend? Some of our members that are in Cotonou already called me that I should prescribe a church for them. It's very important. The church you go determines your destiny. And I said, okay, I can prescribe church to you in the New York. I'm sure Dr. Creflodola's church, one of his churches in New York, you know, and so on and so forth. She said, what? I don't do church. What do you mean? I don't believe in that Jesus thing. Hey, listen, I believe in God, but I don't believe in this Jesus thing. And she has some seemingly legal reasons to hold on to her ideology. What am I saying in essence? I see you as a global being, not a Nigerian. So, one of these days, we're going to be talking on essential worldviews, Bible worldviews that will help you. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. So, today, we're going to be talking on love, courtship and sex. Now I'm going to be very brief about it. I'm just going to do a PowerPoint teaching. We're going to talk about love and courtship today. Then next Sunday we'll be talking on sex. Invite your friends. This is very critical. This is important. I'm going to read out some statistics to you next week that will surprise you. So today I'll be talking about love and courtship. Now, love in this context of this teaching, we're talking about the love that exists between a man and a woman. Then courtship, we are very choosy with our words. That's why I didn't use dating. I said courtship. Let me say this to you. For some of you might see it as semantics, but it's not. There's difference between dating and courting. In my own Christian mind. Because dating is an abused word used in the world out there. People can date and just trash one another afterwards. In Christianity, the moment you open your mouth and say, I love you. I want to have a future with you. Think about it. And she says, okay, yeah. 3 days later, she comes back and says, I think I'm convinced too. We can do life together. From that moment, courtship begins. So courtship is that space between when you consented to a proposal and when you eventually tie the knot. Is that clear enough? Good. So I'm just going to be sharing a few things with you in that light. Turn your Bible to 2 Timothy quickly. Let's kick off from there. 2 Timothy. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy and chapter number 3. 2 Timothy chapter number 3 and verse 16, it says, all scripture. Somebody say all scripture. Now, all scripture here does not mean every kind of scriptures in the world. There are several scriptures. There are Jewish addendums out there in Israel. But if you read from verse 15, you'll notice that it's talking in context of Holy Scripture. Holy Scripture. Let me just say a few things. I didn't plan to say this, but it's going to help somebody. The Bible you have in your hand, Bible simply means collection of books. Bible simply means collection of books. Now, that Bible is called Holy Bible because it is a collection of Holy Scriptures. Are you following? A scripture is accepted to be a holy scripture because it speaks of one holy man whose holiness becomes our holiness. His name is Jesus. So a book, are you listening to me? A book is holy to the degree in which it speaks of that holy man, Jesus. Amen. So, now, when it says all scripture, it's talking about the collection of holy scriptures. So it says all scripture is given by inspiration of God and it is profitable for doctrine. Doctrine means teaching. For reproof. Reproof there is from the Greek word elenchos. It means evidence. That means the Bible is evidence of itself. It doesn't need corroboration from scientific proof. No, the Bible is evidence of itself. For example, the Bible says if you believe in your heart and confess in your heart that Jesus Christ is raised from the dead and you use your mouth to profess the same, the Bible says you are saved. That is about the only evidence you require to prove that you are saved. Now, if somebody says, what is the proof that you are saved? Because the Bible said so. According to the Bible, I believed in my heart that Jesus Christ died, was buried, and was raised up for my justification. Because I believe so, and I profess the same, I am saved according to scriptures. So that means the Bible, the claim of the Bible, is evidence of itself. Are you following what I'm saying? So that is the word reproof. Then it says for correction. And then he now says, for instruction in righteousness. Now, this is one of the... You see, what he's saying here is, listen, the Bible, the scriptures, all right, is God's instruction manual for the God life. You see, when you buy an equipment, it comes with manual. With that manual, you learn how to operate that equipment, right? In the same vein, the moment you receive Christ into your heart, the Bible becomes the instruction manual for the God life. That means... Listen, the word of God is our compass for the Christian journey. So that means God's word is meant to instruct us on everything to distinguish right from evil. See, listen to me. God's word defines to us reality among several wrongs in the world. Let me read something to you. Open to Psalm 119 quickly. Psalm 119. The Bible is a book of precepts that shows us the right way, the right thing, the right process, the right, the ideal way of doing things. That's what the Bible is to us. Amen. Psalm 119, that's the longest chapter in the Bible. In verse 104, it says, Through thy precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. That means he considers the precepts, the word of God, he considers it as a source for understanding. And every other way he considers false. Praise the Lord. That means he places everything under the litmus of God's word. Every issue, every matter, he places it under the litmus of God's word. If it does not stand the test of God's word, he considers it false. Look at verse 128. He says, therefore, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things. This is remarkable. This is an Old Testament saint. He says he considers God's word, his precepts, concerning all things to be right. In other words, listen, if he wants to find out whether something is right or wrong, he chooses the word of God as his instruction manual. He's, look at it. He says, and I hate every false way. In other words, God's word defines. God's word is our light. God's word is our instruction manual. Whatever God's word says is what we accept. In other words, God's word is our Lord. Listen, when you say Jesus is Lord, Jesus is the word of God. That means the word of God is your Lord. It becomes your final authority. Praise the Lord. So we want to glean wisdom from what God's word says concerning love and courtship today. Hallelujah. Let me say this as the first. Let's cut to the chase quickly. Listen, the first thing you need to get right when it comes to this issue of boy-girl relationship, the first thing you need to get right is purpose. You see, understanding purpose is the precursor to relationships. Because, for example, as a lady, you are going to be a suitable helpmate to somebody who doesn't know what he was made for. He doesn't know what his assignment is here on earth. Hey, that's like two blind leading themselves. They're going to fall into the ditch. You have to have purpose. I see a lot of young people. When I mean young people, myself inclusive, amen. I'm not 40, so I'm still a young guy. Even at 80, I'm still young. Glory to God. You know, at 90, you know, some of you, your children's children, you know, will be listening to me. I'll be teaching. I'll still be preaching the Lord. Hallelujah. The Lord is good. I'll still be hold, preaching the word of faith. Amen. So I'm still young. But the point is, I see a lot of people who are so preoccupied with relationship. You see, on that level student who just came home, doesn't know his left from his right. I'll be 16 years. I got a dress like this. So if you touch my clothes, though, I go now to hit now because she now has the liberty. She's no longer under her parents. So now she's come to school. She wants to practicalize. She wants to experiment. Or she wakes up in the morning and then she see, boom, something as she's not having, you know, some protrusion in her chest, you know, some things are coming up, and then so she just feels, I need to test this thing. That's the problem with a lot of people. The first step, listen to me, when it comes to boy-girl relationship is purpose. Purpose. And I thank God. Listen to me, when I was in the university, you know, I think from Afrimo Law University, later. When I was in the university, I could have hooked up with a lot of wrong girls. Not wrong in the sense that they are bad, but listen, I wouldn't be here today fulfilling purpose. Because purpose helps you to even consider who to accept into your life. Can I be honest with you? This straight talk today, right? I used to have one lady like that in university. I like. Have you been sick of somebody before? Like, your pastor calls you and says, Pastor, I like her. And guess, if I tell you her name now on Instagram, you Google, you see over 20,000 followers. This babe, correct babe, can pray in tongues. Fine, babe. Look, the problem is She has one goal in life. She has just one drive. This lady that will tell me, Elijah, you know, next week I'm going for a workshop. Where? New York. To do what? What is it all about? Ah, Mary Kay is coming to do another training before she died. This lady that makeup is not like, there's nothing wrong with doing makeup on it. I'm talking about right now as I speak to you, the least makeup she does in Lagos is 50K. The babe like me too, but the problem is, hey, I'm a pastor. Hey, how do you feel? I'm here preaching the word of God and my baby is holding a makeup class in India at the same time. It's not comparable. So I have to now grow above my emotion and be smart enough to make intelligence, to be emotionally intelligent rather in decision making. So cut to the chase. The first thing is purpose. Before you start saying, I want a dark, tall, broad-chested, six-pack guy. Hey, what do you, first of all, understand what is your purpose? And I've told you before, and I don't have time to go through that again. You can get a teaching on that. And I'm still going to do a teaching towards maybe June or thereabout on purpose. It's so appealing that most of the books out there, let me tell you, I'm a bookworm myself. Those of you that are very close to me, you know that. By the grace of God, I've read nothing less than 500,000 books. Most of those books you read out there about purpose, they get you more confused. Am I correct? Get our tape on purpose. For example, let me give you an instance. Most of the books you read on purpose, they will tell you are created for one thing unique. Only you can do that thing. It's a lie. We all have one purpose. God has one purpose for all humanity. Yes, sir. It's our assignment that differs. Assignment simply means the vehicle through which that purpose is fulfilled. And God has one purpose for humanity, to have all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Yes, sir. That is the purpose of God for mankind. Yes, so now I'm an evangelist. You can be a pastor. In fact, someone else can even be in the military, in sports. Or that person can even be a musician, you know, singing like Sapphire, you know, the best musician in the world. Say amen to that. Amen. Amen. Or the best drummer. They are all in C3. Glory to God. So you can even be thriving well in that area of life. Listen, and a lot of people, they have been so disturbed that life has become useless to them because they have, you know, they've prayed, they've fasted. Oh God, show me my purpose. Show me. And listen, it's nothing hard. Write this down. Purpose is not unique. There is no unique purpose. We all have one purpose. And that is the purpose God has for all humanity. So I'll be working in purpose to the degree in which that which I do supports the purpose of God for humanity. Did you get that? I'll repeat. I'll be walking in purpose of God for me to the degree in which I align what I'm doing presently to the purpose of God for humanity. So if I'm a drummer, all right, for example, how does my drumming help salvation of other people? Because listen, there's only one thing that matters to God, salvation of men and their establishment in the truth. In other words, their establishment in a church, in a local assembly where they will be taught God's word. So I can be an engineer. So my question is, how does my engineering help salvation of men? That's simple. Let me give you a very simple illustration. I'm not that the phone is meant to aid communication, right? Listen to me. Am I correct? No matter whether it is iPhone or touchlight phone, whatever phone it is, it has one purpose. And that purpose cut across board, whether you are in India, in China, in the United States, in the Philippines, wherever it is you are, phone has one purpose. In the same vein, our manufacturer created us for one purpose, for us to be adopted into his sonship, for us to be recreated in Christ, for us to be remanufactured, for us to be brought into a family called Christ. That is God's mandate for all humanity. So now, I will now be walking in the will of God to the degree in which I channel everything I am doing to see that fulfilled. So I can be a doctor. The question is, how does my doctoring help the salvation of men? I can be an entrepreneur, a business mogul. Is my money helping salvation of men? Am I supporting a church that is rooted in getting people establishing the truth? That's purpose. Simple. Do you know that coming to church to clean the chair and getting the place neat, such that somebody who is not a Christian comes to the church and he feels comfortable enough to sit down to hear the word and later get saved, you have fulfilled purpose than somebody who is. Do you get what I'm saying? That's purpose. Purpose is not unique. I don't want to go deep into that because I have so much to share today. But the reason why I have to go into that is for you to understand that the precursor to boy-girl relationship is understanding of purpose. Can I be honest with you? Do you know why 90% of relationships on campus don't last? Do you know why? Such that after their final paper, it ends at the gate. Do you know why? No purpose. Why? When they finish school, the lady now finds out that, this is what she was cut out for. And they are not compatible. Because Amos 3:3 says, can two work together except they be agreed? So the first thing is purpose. There are some ladies that were, you know, I'm not always a fine boy physically, but I've said this before, not for anything. In my university, from my year 1 to year 5, I was best dressed in my faculty. Best dressed. So I had a lot of ladies who liked me, who were just roaming around, you know, just tagging around. And they are, in fact, 90% of all of them right now are not in Nigeria, in the New York. Some of them still chat me. Fine babes, correct babes. But listen, we can't tag. Do you get what I'm saying? Very important. The first thing is purpose. Purpose. Don't let anybody deceive you. See, life is not about going to the shopping mall, going to visiting New York, you know, just living a life of stuff, buying things, just, you know, and then on Instagram. That's not what life is all about. Purpose. Purpose. Ask yourself. Ask yourself, be honest with yourself. Do I have a sense of purpose? How many people have I helped their salvation? How many souls have I preached the gospel to with my money? What is it I am doing right now that is helping? Rena Bonke went to be with the Lord. One of the greatest partners of Rena Bonke, that's Sefa and Christ for All Nations Ministry, is Kenneth Copeland. They give millions of dollars. That's a fulfilled life. Benny Hinn, one of his greatest partners, her name is Ruth Glass. She gives $1 million to all his crusade. Now, you listen, can I be honest with you? When we get to heaven, you'll be amazed at some people. People you never knew. Now, how many of you, you've been to this church and have been a blessing to you? Let me see your hands up. Good. Now, I won't take credit for it. When I get to heaven right now, I'm just talking metaphorically. Now, if I get to heaven right now, you know, not now, but when I'm 90, praise God. When I get to heaven, I want to first go and greet EW Kenyon. I'll first dopale babao. Then I'll go and say, Kenneth Hagin. Because these are people whose books transformed me. So everyone is actually a product of several inputs. Are you following what I'm saying? So now, I won't arrogate my success in purpose to myself. Those men fulfilled purpose by helping me fulfill purpose. And what is the purpose? Getting you sit here today to learn God's word. Getting men saved. Getting men to know Christ. That is the purpose of man. Enough said. You can get a tape where it was elaborated. I discarded 5 major things about purpose that is directly opposite of what you learn or read from other books. Get the tape. So the first thing I want you to know about boy-girl relationship is what? Talk to me louder! Purpose. Very important. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Don't forget where we began. I said the word of God is an instruction manual, you know, concerning anything. Now, I haven't known purpose. The first thing next I want you to know is this. every relationship must be defined. Every relationships. Like I used to say in this church in Philippians 2, alright, Philippians 1:25, right? I used to say what? And having this confidence that I shall what? Abide with you for your furtherance and what? So I have one unique relationship with every one of you. What is it? For your furtherance. That means your prokopi, your spiritual growth, and your what? Joy in the faith. The relationship is defined. It's a pastor-member relationship, mentor-mentee relationship, father-son relationship, father-daughter relationship. Clear? Very simple. Ladies, especially some of you, don't let any guy monopolize your airspace. Do you get what I said? He will keep seat for you in the class. You will go to our room together. He will cook, you come and eat. You will hold hands all the time. Anybody that wants to even talk to you has to take excuse from him. After university, you now say, what's happening? Say, I just see her as my sister. You must expel such man. They are time wasters. They are life wasters. Don't let any man monopolize your airspace. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Hold on, church. Praise the Lord. See, every relationship, write it down. Every relationship must be defined. Define it. Hey, guy. Listen, lady. You are not cheap when you drag a guy and sit him down and say, hey, look into my eyes. Tell me what's happening to us. And let me just tell you, by the way, a lady did that to me. She's married now. We still spoke 2 days ago. She's my friend. We're just friends, just doing good. But I don't know, she started developing, because women are very emotional. The guy may not even mean anything. She took me, you know, we went to one of the best eateries, you know, in Ife. She sat me down and said, Elijah, talk to me. What's happening to us? I said, babe, nothing is happening between us. This thing is serious, though. Because any man that cannot make up his mind, that's a confused guy. So, every relationship must be defined. Define it. Don't assume. Don't let anybody waste your time and your life. Don't let any man to monopolize your airspace. If he's not saying nothing, first year, second year, let him go. Sit him down. Ask him, hey, brother, what's happening to us? Are we in a relationship or we are just friends? What are we taking into the next level? What's happening? Open, talk. What's happening? Let no man monopolize your airspace. See, listen, this is very key. Because there are other guys there who are potential lovers, but now they are shielded away because they felt, oh, something is happening between them. Meanwhile, nothing is happening within them. Praise the Lord. So the first step is, let every relationship be what? Assumption is the least knowledge in the school of knowledge. Don't assume. Don't assume. Now, I just want to deal on this a little bit. Listen, I have realized in my little years of pastoring that a lot of people, the reason why they do the things they do in courtship is because most people don't even know what courtship is meant for. So I'll just iterate 3 out of many other things that I want to share. What are we supposed to be doing during courtship? The reason why many resort into having sex, cohabiting, is because they don't even know the purpose of courtship. There is something you should be doing during courtship. After the guy proposes, all right, and then you said yes, courtship begins. So between that time of you saying yes to him or him finding you to the time when you finally or practically eventually get, you know, tied together, you know, by a pastor or, you know, get married in that sense, that space is called courtship. There are things you should be doing together within those times. And before I say that, I want to say this to you. Ladies, my heart is for you. My heart is for guys too. Amen. Amen. Let me be sincere with you. Listen. You are at disadvantage in this ball of boy-girl thing, in this particular thing I want to say. And that's why you have to do what I'm about to say. Listen. You know how a guy can... A guy is at liberty, all right, to say, I like this lady, let me just go and propose to her, right? Ladies in the house, are there guys you like? Yes. Talk to me. Yes. But do you have the liberty to talk to them that, guy, I like you? So now, what will now be your advantage then? It's simple. Are you listening to me? Have a standard. That is your only way to shield the wrong guys, because they are at liberty to walk up to any girl. But you, even if you like a guy, the best you can do is pray. So have a standard. Don't let anybody, listen, have a standard. Today, I'll not be talking about the things to consider before marrying, because we've done a series on that. We've done a teaching on that, how to toast a lady. A lot of guys don't even know how to woo a lady. See, good morning, sister. I just like it. I don't know. God might want to do something through us. You see, I see a vision. He does not know. Ah! He doesn't even, he can't talk to. Some, he'll be shaking. He'll still be shaking. I just want to tell you that, you know, you know, when I was in university, let me just tell this story. I've said it before, right? That day, I called him. I said, John, come. Talk through. Why it is painful to me is because this lady is from my village. In Osun State, we are both from the same place. She's in the U.S. now. She's married to another guy. And in the faculty from year one, they will sit together at just a lecture theater over Fenelon University. They will sit together at Gertrude Lecture Theater. They will sit together. She is in animal science. The lady is in agri economics. We always saw them together to the point that they started looking alike. Of course, they are both fair. That's just hyperbole anyway. Do you understand what I'm saying? They will hold hands together, walk together. The moment, if you see John, Brother John, if you see, I don't want to mention his own name, he's a friend on Facebook. The moment you see him sitting down, there will always be a seat kept. He's keeping it for the girl. The moment you see the girl sitting down, she's keeping the seat for, if your name is John, yeah, please. So, I stayed in our annex, our lower hall, Bafemi Olowo University. So he was staying on the same block with me, block D, room 312. D312. So he was in D310. So I used to notice that she used to come. After every lecture, she would come. Unlike Insuk, you know, you even at 11 p.m. you can visit a lady. It's a mature school, you know. I'm sorry to say that. Amen. So she will come. And she's from my village. You know, I know her so much. One day, I was angry. Only anger. I just opened my door. I said, come. I hold her like this. Come. I said, come. I said, sit down. I said, John. See, John. What is happening? Talk. See, I said, Mom, Pastor, the Lord is helping us. I said, the Lord, let the Lord help you. Talk. See, that was her deliverance. That was her deliverance. And a lot of other guys out there, she's one of the most decent ladies in our department, in our faculty, rather. Thank God. A senior colleague later hooked her up, and that one went to the US. When she was done with her degree with our own set, that one has been there for like 2-3 years, arranged her paper. Now she's married, she's there in the US. Amen. I've just wasted a beautiful, precious time like that. Praise the Lord. So we've done a teaching on that, but we'll still do it some other time, but not in this series, because there's something, you know, because of the topic is love and courtship. So I want to talk about courtship. A lot of people don't know what to be doing during courtship. And that's one of the ways you know what love is. Because love will always take advantage of contact. People don't differentiate between love and crush. See, crush will always want to exploit contact. Every time they are together, he wants to have sex. He wants to start touching. Why? Both of them, they don't know what they should be doing during courtship. So I just want to iterate 3 out of many of them because of time. Amen. Amen. See, these are 3 things I want you to be doing. I believe you should be doing during courtship. You call it dating, but I call it courtship. Number 1, develop yourselves in the Lord. That sounds religious, right? But it's foundational. Develop yourself. How do you do this? I tell you, have a corporate program to develop each other. Okay, you have said yes. The following month, tell yourself, sweetheart, you know what? This month, we're going to be looking at salvation. Let's get tips on salvation. You know, let's listen to it individually. Let's see what we have learned. We can mail it to one another. We can WhatsApp it to one another. Develop yourself in the Lord. Attend conferences together. Develop yourself in the Lord. Have a corporate program. You are dating a guy, both of you have never said, okay, once in a month, we will go out for a retreat. Once in a week, we will go and pray at sports center. Once in a month, we will pick a book to read. Then we will send summary to one another. You've never done that. It's always touching. Coming to your room. Oh, I miss you. You do. I love you too. I love you. That's all you do for the whole time in your courtship. Then finally, you now marry. You now say, Pastor, I don't know. It's like this. It's like... The problem is, during courtship, you miss the point. Develop yourself during courtship. See, during courtship, you say, you should say, there's a preacher that is coming, you know, there is this program they are doing on boy-girl relationship, but we have to pay for it. It's a master class. Attend it. Those are the things, not the Nollywood, Hollywood boy-girl thing you see. Those things are fake. Have spiritual schedules. Tell your partner, you know what? Every Friday, thank God, that's why you need to belong to a good church that will help you to fulfill this. Now, our church, for example, Friday is fasting. Jesus did not fast for you. Did you hear what I said? For those of you who say, Christ has died, Christ has buried. Yes, I see. You know, I preach Christ crucified. Jesus only fasted for his own ministry. Yes, that's why he could fulfill it in 3.5 years. Walk by away. You fast. You wake up in the morning, early morning like this, you are already putting spread on your bread. Early morning, 6 a.m. I don't know, I have ulcer, that's why. It's only you. Fast. You should have a day you both fast together. Interestingly, medically speaking, fasting is good. So you should have a spiritual program that you have both designed to grow each other. I have read, by the grace of God, I've read 19 books on relationships, for example. All right? And I can tell you 2 or 3 stand out. You can say, Pastor, tell us which one of them. So instead of you going to do, that's why it is good to have a pastor, a mentor. They help you not to go through the same stress they have gone through. Like, for example, now, if I do a teaching to you, as I'm teaching you right now, I just told you I've read nearly 500,000 books. Do you know what that would take from you to read? Now, imagine listening to me. So you've read, that means invariably, if you listen to me for 10 years consistently, you've read all those 5,000 books, 500 books. That's what mentor, that is the privilege of mentorship. So you can come to me, Pastor, this month we don't know what book to pick. I can say, okay, go and pick this. Like, for example, Christian Family by Dr. Fred Casey Price. I can tell you to read it. Love and Respect by Eggerich, Emerson Eggerich. I can tell you to pick it. These are books that will help you. Understanding the Purpose of Marriage, Miles Monroe. These are books. Say, and anytime you say, I don't like reading. It's very difficult. Nobody was born with the ability to read. Everybody learns it. And if you can't read, there are audio books. Most books now have audio version online. Go to App Store, download it, listen to it. Summarize, send to one another. That's how you develop yourself. Number two, that you should be doing during courtship. Number two, interview. Hey, this is very important. Can I be honest with you? Huh? Number one rule to marriage is never marry a stranger. Please don't. I beg you in the name of God. Don't marry a stranger. So, courtship should help you. Interview. Ask questions. Love talks.
Listen to me. Love, all right, in relationship stands on two legs: commitment and communication. So love talks. Ask questions. Don't assume. Know each other. What's your background? What do you like? You have to discuss issues. Ask questions. It's time for interview. So you can, this morning, while you know, Brother Paul, you are with me this morning, right? I was talking to a friend, right? His elder brother, by the grace of God, God used me to prophesy about his relocation to the U.S. He's in the U.S. Army. Amen. I said, amen. Amen. He's married to this girl. The girl too is Yoruba, but she grew up there. They be having a lot of issues. Am I correct? Is that what I was counseling this morning? A lot of issues. Until the grandma came from Nigeria to do Omugo. The baby is black already. You know when you give out to a baby, there's a way you bait the baby for the first, I don't know, ladies in the house know what I'm talking about. By the time the grandma came, the baby's already black. A fair baby. She can't bait. The people say, sweetheart, you poo-poo. You see, she can't do nothing. Are you listening to me? Don't marry a stranger. Ask questions. And this is one of the things that distinguish courtship in Christianity from dating in the world. In Christianity, when you're courting somebody, in the process of asking questions, the moment you know the individual's weak point is not an exit route. It's an opportunity for you to know where to give help to one another towards marriage. You know, I was talking to Lydia and he was like, I said, I used to see you with this guy. What happened? Saying, I don't like him again. Huh? What happened? Let me be honest with you. Anytime we are eating together, there's a way his teeth touches spoon. I said, the Lord bless you. Amen. I said, amen. So, the moment you find out that he doesn't know, he has poor table manner, what do you do? You can say, next month, sweetheart, I suggest that we should pick a book. Go online, search for books that will help him on eating habits. Let's read this book and let's summarize. Simple! Talking to another guy, one guy says, why are you doing? He said, she does not know how to manage money. Ah, pastor, see, let me show you. I've sent this to her. I said, okay, next month, pick a book on money management or financial intelligence and say, okay, let's pick this book to help her. We know each other's fault in relationship, in godly relationship, to help one another. So what we do, we feed our strength and we starve our weakness. Why? Because we are entering this relationship with a goal in mind. It's not a trial by error. We're not doing testing. We are convinced that this journey we want to start together, the end is in view. There's a purpose, there's an end in view. So if there's any issue on the way, we solve it. That's what great Christian courtship is all about. That we should be doing during courtship. David Meyer, the husband, many of you today, you are celebrating Joyce Meyer. I celebrate David Meyer most. That lady, her dad has slept with her before she was 18, more than 200 times. Her dad. And her dad will drive away all men. Before she was 18, more than 200 times. She was going through a lot of emotional trauma to the point that the worst place her dad had slept with her, even in the burial ground. So when she married David, God told Mary, see, David, oh, sometimes they will be on bed like this. She will just be imagining it's her dad and she will take knife to want to stab Dave, David Meyer. How many of you know Joyce Meyer? During their courtship, David did a lot of hard work. Now, they're in a relationship. He knows that this is what she has gone through. Don't say, No. He knows what her problem is. Then he begins to supply her with all that she requires. Thank God she's doing fine. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. This is very, very important. Very, very important. So you talk, you ask questions, you interview, you communicate. solve issues. There are simple wisdoms you should apply. You need to address issues of, okay, to what degree will our family get involved? Like me now. For example, now, I'm going to say, so that, you know what, for me, our parents can come and stay maybe 3 months, even 6 months, but no parents will come and live with us. If you have issues with that, we have to solve that one. And it's not being, I'm trying to be selfish, let me tell you, I'm even helping her. Because, for example, I am my mommy's omoloju. You know omoloju in Yoruba? Okay. The day my mom lives with us and she noticed that one day, you know, normally, sweetheart, you can just come and say, baby, I'm so tired in work today. There's no food. Sweetheart, let's drink garri today. I'll say, okay, no problem. My mom is there. We say, ah! Oh, come on, milonje! There, problem starts. So, I've said, you know what? This is how we do it. So, we trash these issues. To what degree can your family get involved in matters? You know, some people, I'm dealing with an issue right now. This guy, they are married just 3 months ago. This guy can't make any decision except his elder sisters tell him. Married. So these are issues you should talk about. To what degree should your family be involved? Listen, these are simple issues that you don't know. You think marriage is money, money? You think it's all, see, it's only wedding you know about. You have to deal with this issue. Childbearing views. What are our childbearing views? Like me, for instance, now. My mom told my dad, say, you know what? We don't have much money, but we must live in one of the best places in Ibadan where our children will grow up. We don't want them to join all these hooligans, all this. Oh, yeah! Hey, grab on, yeah! Do you know we lived by the grace of God? I remember late 90s, early 2000, we only had 544 and the smoke can fill the whole compound. 544, we were all push. We were living in GRA. Let me tell you who our neighbors were. The present governor of Ondo State, Akeredolu, was my neighbor. Obasanjo's lawyer was my neighbor. The owner of Lee City University was my neighbor. So we're living in a pantry today among the big people, some of the richest people in Southwest today. We live together with them. So, we grew up playing basketball together with them. We learned English. Because when you say international, they will laugh at you. Ah, he's a bush guy. The next day, you will learn to pronounce it well. International. So, we grew up in that kind of environment that built us up. Because then, during their holidays, they will go to London for vacation. So, they've learned a lot of things. Are you listening to me? So it was my mom's decision that, listen, we are going to live in this kind of serene environment where these children can read. They won't be jogging around with barrack boys. When I go to barrack to play ball, come back, my mom will beat me. I told you, don't go to barrack. And most times, we don't have food at home. But my mom insists, we must live here. So what are your child-rearing views? You must discuss these things during courtship. How many do you want to have? You know, I was talking to a lady one time. That was like 3-4 years ago. I said, we're just friends. How many child do you want to have? Said, ah, she wants to have 6. I said, hey, 6. Ha! Ah. I said, me, I'm even praying that God should just redeem time for me. You know, I'm in my 30s now, so I don't have all the time. Me, it's ministry. Ministry is my life. I just want one shot, boom, triplets, then we'll close up. You see, I'm giving you straight talk, right? That's it. Triplets, one. So let's face the problem of triplets at once. I know people will do it together. We'll be doing shifts. We'll do timetable. You will shift today. We'll do it together. We'll carry. So that in the next 3 years, we are done. So we'll just zip up. Of course, we'll still be, but no baby. Do you understand what I'm saying? These are things you should be talking during courtship. Yes, discuss it. Me, I don't even like that thing. Every 2 years. Every 2 years. Working. You can't come and... I can't say, sweetheart, we are doing fasting this week. It's cabbage. Huh? Say, I'm pregnant, so the baby has to eat. I don't have time for that one. So we discuss those things. Are you following me? child-rearing views, how many do we are we going to have? We can even join our faith together to what gender we want. For me now, I wouldn't mind the three children should be ladies. Three daddy's little girls, you know. But if she says, of course, she's going to like a guy. So, okay, one boy, two girls, will start confessing. Father will believe for two girls, one boy. Oh, glory to God. The boy goes to mama, daddy's daughters, you know. Praise the Lord. So, child-rearing views, you must discuss this thing. These are interesting things, right? There is so much to do in courtship. So much. But all that our generation know about is touching, kissing. All they know. They have to be in the dark. In the dark place. No praying together. No studying together. Discuss these things. Very important. To what degree are we going to be involved in church matters? Discuss it. I know a relationship right now in Abuja. The guy is working one of the best places you can work in Abuja, earning a lot of money. But the wife told me, says, Pastor, can I be honest with you? I know my husband is earning big, but I will be honest with you. I don't have even 20,000 naira in my account. What is the problem? If I tell you how much you receive, some of you will stand up today and say, Pastor, I know how much you receive, but I can't tell you. Do you know what he does with money? He helps all. His dad was a polygamous man. All the family member and the rest will take it to church. See, you have to involve your wife in these things. These are the things you need to address during courtship. Listen, being a husband is not having that thing in between your legs with six packs. That's not what makes a man. If that's what makes a man, if that's what makes a husband, a lot of conductors will be good husbands.
Yes, sir.
Every Tom, Dick, and Harry can do that. You just need to be on, as you see all this place flat now, just give me 6 months of steroids and Jimmy, they will all come out. It doesn't make you a man. So don't be deceived or carried away by those things. Discuss those things. Discuss those things. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So, and these are one of the ways you know somebody is committed, because love is committed. Love communicates. Very important. So communication, discuss them. Talk them. Talk. Discuss. This is how we want to do it. What's our plan? This is how we want to do it. This is the space we'll have between childbearing. This is how we're going to do it. Our first baby, let's save for it for, you know, so time. We'll have our baby in the U.S. Things like this, you discuss them. Then the last one, have a corporate financial plan right from now. Right from now. Have a corporate financial plan. See, it will amaze you. Do you know this colo that they used to do in the village? It will amaze you. You'll be dropping 500 naira every week there. At the end of December, you'll be amazed when you open it. Have a corporate financial plan with your fiance. You are in a relationship now. Have a corporate plan. This is not a testing thing. You are in a relationship with a goal of the end in view. It's not a testing thing. So you know you will get married. Have plan. Start saving together. You as the man, you can say, okay, I will be saving 5K every month. The woman can say, okay, 1K, 2K, but make sure she's involved. Have a joint account that right now, start having financial plan. Do you know why? Because in Christian courtship, it is not testing, it is not trial by hero. This is very important. You are going to need a lot of money in marriage. My younger sister now is preparing for my. I said, I didn't tell her. I just said, me, she buy, I won't give for the wedding. 2 weeks after wedding, that's when I will send money to her. Because you see, a lot of people, his wedding, the gown. I was talking to my boss, who was my boss where I work with. The guy was brought up in the US. He was telling me, he said, Elijah, I don't know why. On a wedding day, why can't somebody just go and rent a wedding gown? Instead of buying that kind of a lot of money, you know, you want to buy a gown, why can't you just rent a wedding gown? Maybe for $10 or something, huh? I said, yeah, but Africans don't think that way. So somebody will collect event planner. We Don't worry, we'll talk about that in marriage 101. Let me tell you, can I be honest with you? Write this down. You have just two things you need to get married. Just two things. Consent from both parents and legality. Because the Bible tells us to obey the law of the land. So legality, that means you go to customary court, you are legally banded together. And consent from parents, that's all you need to get married. The reason why we do church or church gets involved is because, you know, church is a family. So we want to bless you, pray with you, you know, culture you together. Do you understand what I'm saying? Don't let anybody put you under pressure. Me, I've said it, except the wife. My wife says no, and my parents, of course, the Yoruba people, who am there. For me, if you give it to me alone, 20 people maximum, just bring my pastor, just go to one beach. That's actually my dream wedding. Go to the beach, just arrange 20 chairs. My pastor comes, beach, you know beach? Eh? All right. Pastor just comes, we join you in the name of the Lord, you pray for us, join hands, take picture. What, there is no type bridal, there's that groom's bait, what do you call that thing? Bridal wash. I don't know. Anyone that wants to go and bait, you go and bait in their house. So, you know, I was talking to a big brother. He told me, he said, Elijah, one of the greatest mistakes I made in my life was in 2013, I spent 5 million naira on my wedding. And the next day, there was no shingban in my purse. The ring they used was from Dubai, customized. When it grew fatter, the ring could not enter again. He took me to his house and said, look at the suit. He's living in his elder sister's house, that one, because the elder sister relocated to the US with her husband. So the house they built in the Southwest, I don't want to mention in the Southwest, is where he's now living. He couldn't even afford the house for himself. Have a corporate financial plan. Nothing wrong with having a joint account where you start saving. Very important. And let me say this to you. The truest test of a man is his disposition to money. See, let me say this to you. Money is a spiritual stethoscope. You know that the doctor uses to check your heart. Money is a spiritual stethoscope. The way a man treats money. You know, the Bible says Jesus himself. That is the only thing that Jesus places on the same cadre with God. He says a man cannot serve mammon and God. He says he cannot serve two masters. That means Jesus calls money master. He called God two master. Those two things can't cohabit. What Jesus is saying there is simple. That listen, the true test of where the heart of a man is where he put his money. He says he doesn't have money. He does not have money. But tomorrow you sell with new Nike. He does not have money. He does not have money. He changes his phone. It's a lie. Let me say this to you, ladies. No guy is stingy. They only spend where their heart is. Because the same guy I say does not have money, there's one side chick collecting his money. No, it's a lie. In fact, that's why even in ministry, anybody who is not financially committed will just, because listen, even Jesus, all right, when they were giving offering, he sat down at the table and he was watching. He now asked disciples, what do you think gave most? He said, that woman that came with plenty money. That man that came with... Jesus said, no, that woman that came with two mites, for she came of all that she has. That means Jesus looked at percentage. That's why I would tell people, percentage is the most brilliant way to grow you in giving. Because that puts everybody on the same pace. If I have 10 million, my 10% is 1 million. If you have 100 naira, your 10% is 10 naira. We have given the same. Is the most brilliant system of giving. Because it puts everybody, because if you have 10 million and you give 10,000 naira, you haven't given more than the guy that has 1,000 naira and he gives 200 naira. You haven't given more than him. So money is a powerful tool to test the heart of men. Somebody is not committed financially in a relationship, let me, don't be deceived. Listen, marriage changes nobody. If a guy is stingy in a relationship, he's going to be super stingy. And one of the ways you're going to be very smart is, listen, don't be deceived as how he treats you. How does he treat other people? He might be treating you good as a bait. Do you know not all giving is from love? Do you know that? Have you read in the book of 1 Corinthians 13? It says, though I give my good to feed the poor and I have not love. Excuse me. I always thought giving is love. But now it makes us to see that though I give all my good to the poor and I be burnt. He says, and if I have not love, I'm like what? He literally says, I am nothing. So that means it's possible to give without love. How about bribery? It's not the kind of giving. He's giving you might be a bait. How does he treat other people? Only you is the one he treats well. You have become the queen of his heart. He shouts at his mom on phone. His younger sister, he shouts at them. Watch how he treats the gate man. See, these are simple, simple things. Can I give you something that will help you? After your morning devotional, every day, read one chapter of Proverbs every day. I learned that from Joseph Prince. See, if you do that for 1 year, you'll be so wise. Hiya. I'm not going to say Prince. He said after his morning devotion, he will listen to one chapter. He says, thank God it is 31 chapters. So any month that it is 28, you will read all of them, the rest three. Do you get what I'm saying? Read one chapter of Proverbs. And don't use King James English. Use NIV or Simple English. You'll be smart. It will help you not to borrow. When you read scriptures like, you know, a lender is a slave, a borrower is a slave, you will be so smart. A lot of people, all they know to do is they are rich in doctrine, rich in prayer, they are on fire, but they lack common sense for living. And that is weighing a lot of people down. Be smart. So let me just wrap it up with, just let me share. I have about 7, I'll just go to 3. 3 things, write this down. 3 things that should help you to concretize your conviction about a man or a woman to marry. Just 3. Out of 7, I'll just share 3. Then we'll close. Time is fast spent. I really have a lot of things to share with you, but because of the topic is just love and courtship, the next Sunday we'll talk on sex. We've done teachings on how to woo a lady, things to consider, all those things we've talked about, all those things last year. You can get a tape, but we'll look out for one of these. We are trusting God that this year we'll do a major conference on, you know, relationship that will talk on those things elaborately. Can I have a big amen to that? Amen. Number 1, these are things that you should consider before you concretize starting the journey of life with a person. Number 1, and I'm just trying to sigh before I say it. Ascertain if this individual has the fear of the Lord. See, in our generation, a lot of people don't know how this thing works. The fear of the Lord. Now, when we say the fear of the Lord, we're not talking about phobia, a frightening fear. The Bible defines to us what the fear of the Lord is. The fear of the Lord, open to Isaiah 66, let me read it to you quickly. Isaiah 66. And I will show you why this is very important. Isaiah 66 verse 1. Thus said the Lord, the heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you built unto me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things has my hand made. What is he saying? He's saying, look, all these things, the things you have given me, you're building me a house, you're buying me stuffs. He says, what is it you are giving me? My hand made all these things. And all those things I've seen, I've been, said the Lord. He now says, but to this man. In other words, do you understand Bible language? In contrast to these things, in other words, why you are able to give me all these things in the whole world? He says, by the way, I own them in the first place. So they don't attract me. But just one thing attracts me. He says, but to this man will I look. Even to him that is what? A poor and a contrite spirit. And what? Trembleth at my word. The fear of the Lord is when a man comes to a place where he trembles at God's word. That means he has accepted God's word as his final authority. This is the bedrock for ascertaining whether to enjoy yourself to an individual. Do they accept God's word as final authority? Not that you are talking, he says, let's keep Bible aside, let's face reality. Ah! Run. Fire on the mountain. You know when school, they taught us this thing? Traffic light, traffic sign. You must obey the traffic sign, right? Yellow say, ready. Green say, red say, traffic sign. Warning signs. Let me tell you, don't let anybody bamboozle you that this is my wife. We've been married for 40 years. We have never argued. It's a lie. There will be issues. And see, your surest bet for a blissful marriage is when you can ascertain that partner of yours to have accepted God's word as their final authority. So that when issues show up and you are brought together before God's word, and that individual is willing to drop their own idea to pick up God's word, then you are in for the real thing. Listen, that is your greatest insurance for a blissful marriage. Haven't you read 1 Peter 3 verse 4? He says, Apostle Peter says, let it not be the adorning of hair, the wearing of necklace, and the wearing of apparel. But he says, but let it be what? The eating man of the earth. He says, which before God is of great price. That means God prizes the heart that fears him, that trembles at his word, above natural look. That's the same thing the wisest king said in Proverbs 31 that you all know as the ideal woman. You call it the virtuous woman. Many of you read all the verse 1 down to verse 31 and you miss the point. You miss the point. You saw all the beautiful things that were said from verse 1, verse 2. You were seeing the beautiful things that were said, but you missed the point in verse 30. It says, grace and beauty is what? Is vain. But the woman that fears the Lord. In other words, the eye mark of the ideal woman, the same thing with the ideal man, is the fear of the Lord. And what is the fear of the Lord? Somebody who accepts God's word as final authority. So if an issue comes up and you come to your pastor and your pastor says, this is your opinion, this is your own opinion, but God's word says this, both of you will drop your opinion and pick up God's word. Listen, that is the only way to rescue your marriage. See, by the grace of God, how many of you have seen on Instagram, I've joined somebody in my, how many of you see on Instagram, right? Good. My founding partner of this ministry, I went to join him and his wife. So I'm not teaching you theory here. I mentor families. All the ladies I trained when I was in university, they are all married to their husbands. All right, so I know what I'm saying. I can't. Listen, somebody say the fear of the Lord. Say it louder. Don't allow anybody bamboozle you with the ability to quote scriptures. The fear of the Lord. And you must ascertain it, both in the place of prayer, and I thoroughly believe that God's lead. Listen, God can lead you not to marry a man. God can tell you, even though you're a Christian, don't, and you won't. Any theology that takes God away from any area of your life is a wrong theology. So you see this guy, he loves God. All the pre-marriage class, he scored 100. After they got married, he's now asking for anal sex. See, listen to me. People can pretend. You have to ascertain this thing, the fear of the Lord. And then the pastor says, okay, God's word contradicts this. What is God's word that contradicts this? The Bible says you should think of the other person more than yourself. This woman is complaining that this anal thing is painful. But you, because you want to fulfill your own pleasure, you insisted. Can you say that person does not believe, has not received God's word as their final authority? Are you following what I'm saying? These things are very important. The fear of the Lord. That's why I used to tell people, your surest bet to getting the best partner is to get hooked to an individual that attends the same church where he's being taught the same thing. And I'm not trying to be sentimental about this. Because, you see, what you believe determines what you do. Meanwhile, what you believe is a product of what you hear. And what you hear can be defined by what church you attend. And the church you attend, the pastor in the church you attend, how knowledgeable he is, determines your life. Now you can see why choice of church is not something done frivolously. You don't go to church by proximity. That church is near. No. You go to a church because there's value there that will add to your life. Very important. The fear of the Lord. You have to ascertain it. Very important. Number two. I'm just saying three things that you need to consider before you finally accept that you want to tag along with this individual. The fear of the Lord. Does this person consider God's word as their final authority? Number two. Is this love thing we're talking about, is it mutual? I'm on a case right now. I don't want to talk to you about it. I don't want to give you too much information because you're likely going to know. Some of you who are close to me would know. This woman, she's over 50. She looked into my eye and said, Pastor, there's one prayer God does not answer. I said, what is it? He said, praying that your husband should love you. See, she's talking from experience. She spent over 30 years in marriage and she knows how terrible it is. Don't tell your neighbor. Touch your neighbor. Say, don't beg for love. I'm sure you know this common song that they sing now. I know if he die for your love, I go if he beg for your. I go if he die for your love, but I know if he beg for your love. Shame me be your Abi? Be your Okay. So even unbeliever knows. Unbeliever that sings what this song, he knows. I know if he beg for your love. And you, Christian, you are begging for. You have something wrong with your head. Is it mutual? Be very sure. You all know the case of Leah, right? Jacob wanted to marry. Jacob loved Rachel. So he went to Laban and says, I love Rachel. He says, you know what? You served me for 7 years. So he served. Oh, the guy was happy. Year one, he was working. No salary. Every time he looks at Rachel, he says, oh boy. They will go back to work again. Year two, year three, year four, year five, year six. Finally, year seven. He's happy now. Oh, this babe, they go home with me. Correct. In the ninth, the man carried Leah, the other sister, and gave it to him. So he slept with her the next morning and he woke up and said, this is not Rachel. That's why I think that's why today in wedding, they will always put a veil and say, open it. Is she the one? So Jacob went and said, why do you do me this? He says, I'm sorry, I didn't plan to do you this. In our culture, the younger one does not get married before the elder one. So if you want Rachel, you have to serve another 7 years. Guess what? He didn't give up. He went another 7 years again. Am I saying something that is strange? Let me show you. Open to Genesis 29. Genesis 29. Fast. The time is fast spent. Genesis 29. Are you there? Verse 30. Now, and he went in also unto Rachel. That means after he has served the 7 years again, making 14 years. He went into her. You know what that means now? Good. He went also unto Rachel and he loved also Rachel. More than what? More than what? He loved Rachel more than Leah and served with him yet 7 other years. Now go to verse 32. Now the Bible already told us that he loves Rachel more than whom? Say it louder. Look at verse 32. And Leah conceived and bare his son, and she called his name Reuben. For she said, surely the Lord has looked upon my affliction. Now, therefore, my husband will love me. She's trying to get her husband's love with childbearing. It didn't work. That's why I laugh at ladies who think giving a man a sex or giving a woman a man all this time will make him love you. You are on your way, you are deceiving yourself. If you like, give him dog style. If you like, give him which other style again? Listen. That's why anytime you need to go listen to our message I preached last year. That's why I should tell people, the moment a man tells you that until you have sex with him, just know God has helped you to know that he's not the right person. I told you, I said, crush will take advantage, will exploit contact. But true love will control it. Look at verse 34. 34 says, and she conceived again. Have you seen some of our old women who will say, if not because of, have you seen people who come and say, Pastor, the reason why I'm still with him is because of the children between us. So that's to show you that they are really going through a lot in that marriage. Don't endure your marriage, enjoy your marriage. And it begins with the decision you make while you are single. Don't marry and now wishing to be single again. Mm-hmm. 34 says, and she conceived again and bare a son and said, now this time will my husband be joined unto me. This woman, she was talking to me a few weeks ago. She said, Pastor, I've been living with him like a widow. They have children. Even when they were having babies, do you know what he does with her? He only just have sex with her. He doesn't make love to her. You know there's a difference. Get our tape, I preached on it. Sex is back from work, takes his shower. Okay. He just have sex, then he goes. No, he doesn't even look after us. Just. One guy said, sharp, sharp. Some bad guys are here. You have to repent. Praise the Lord. Very important. Don't beg for love. Is it mutual? And be truth. Be truthful to tell it when you see somebody is going over the board. I still told one recently. She's a lawyer. She's doing fine. Babe likes me. I like her too, but not. I have to tell her, babe. Blind say you don't like me too much. Before uncle, I love you. I say, it's not mutual. Be sincere to tell it so that you don't want people so. Let me tell you, listen. Let me say this. Listen carefully. A lot of people are so serious about their vertical relationship without wondering or bothering or being bothered about the horizontal relationship. Can I be honest with you? Your horizontal relationship, all right, is the true proof of a vertical relationship. Vertical means you and God. Horizontal is you and people. How you treat people, how concerned you are about people, is the true proof of a vertical relationship. So if you are not good and sensible enough to consider someone else's emotion, to tell them straight before they go overboard and get completely soaked in you, to tell them that, listen, nothing is happening in this relationship. It is not mutual. Then you are a wicked person. Very wicked. Very wicked. And you know, most guys know how, that's why some of the guys say, when I say a guy who says, I'm a player, I see a big fool. Because what you are doing is what the Bible calls witchcraft. Lord have mercy. So you took her out, you bought things for her. Now she's feeling like, okay. Then you call her in the night, you call her every night for 3 weeks. And one thing with ladies is that their heart is so soft, the moment you keep eating the nail all the time, one day she'll just say, this guy likes me. And then she gives him all. And then you now go ahead and say, so you have sex with her, finish, then you now say, actually, my just friends, God will punish you. And this is not in any way to say, listen, that's why the Bible says bed is undefiled, marriage is honorable. Don't let anyone lie to you that it's not possible. I'm older than nearly 80% of you here. If you are less than 30, I'm older than you. And I tell you, staying chaste is possible. It's very possible. Don't let anybody lie to you. Stop doing, you are spreading your seed everywhere. What's wrong with you? At 30, I am seeing Jeremy Pearson, the grandson of Kenneth Copeland, preaching on believers' doors of victory. I'm like, these are my mates. I'm not feeling depressed, but I'm, you know, there's a way somebody's good works can spare you, can spoil you up, right? Daniel Kolenda, the guy's in his 30s, and in my 30s too. The guy has led millions to Christ. I'm like, such things don't inspire you. You are in your 30s, you are still having six guy ladies, Shola, Bimbo, Jeremy, and different girls, different color, different size. And you think you are like, boy, I'll be man. You're not a man, you're a fool. Because listen, what you are doing is, what you don't know that you are doing is this. You are damaging your own conscience. You are damaging your own conscience. How can you be sleeping around? What's wrong with you? Be smart. Sex is not food. It's not. And if you want to really show that you are a man, go to gym. Sure, you see Mark Zuckerberg, right? You see Mark Zuckerberg when he came to Lagos. Sure, you can see him. No six packs. He's not a man, Abby. He's not a man. He keeps you busy, all of you. Most of you, you're always on Facebook. He keeps you very busy. That's a man. So, please don't tell your person, tell the next person, if this is the only thing you learn today. Do you know why this is very important to me? I'm still on a matter that is so serious about it right now. This man is rich. He works in a oil company. He only sends money. There is no law. See, look, let me tell you. A lot of people just think it's all about money. This man works in oil company. He sent, sometimes you will call him, you will say, what is it? What do they want? I'm a responsible man. I send them money. I'm responsible. There is no affection, no care, no love. I beg, can I beg in the name of God? Don't beg for love. See, everybody look up, look in my eyes. I want you to remember this face I want to do now. Please, don't beg for love. Don't. Be sure it is mutual. You are in a relationship and I was talking to a lady and she told me, she said, he went to eat out with this guy. The relationship is just like 3 weeks into it. And while they were eating, a lady just walked past and while they were talking, he was looking. The guy was lost. Do you know what she did? She stood up from the food and that was it. Deleted his number, blocked him, never talked to him again. That is wisdom. See, let me tell you, listen. Don't be deceived. The moment you notice that this thing is not mutual, don't stay there. It's not a bad luck. Get out of it. You're in a relationship and it's already telling you he's seeing someone else. What are you doing there? Walk out of it. Be bold enough. Take the initiative. It doesn't matter how much you've imputed into the relationship. Walk out of it. A broken relationship is better than a bad marriage. Very important. Don't beg for love. Don't do it. There is nothing you can do to buy someone else's love. Leah tried it. It didn't work. Instead, Jacob loved Rachel the more. Are you listening to me? Be smart about this thing. Don't make that mistake. You are a person of favor. You are a person of worth. Carry yourself. That's why I always tell you, know what you're looking for. Don't be swept off your feet with ephemeral things. You know who you are. You are God's purchased, blood-bought. Do you get what I'm saying? You are a new creation. Know your worth. You are what God says you are. Let no man reduce you to a piece of bread. Are you hearing me? Yes. Shout it in, somebody. Very important. Very important. Don't see. Be bold. My younger sister was in a relationship for 5 years, you know, and I asked her, sweetheart, what's happening? She's very dear to me. She'll soon turn 29 and they will get married soon. I said, 5 years, what is it? But that means you feel relationship. And that's why you see ladies are very intuitive. She said, that there's a way she's not feeling sink, like there's a sink in this relationship. She took the boldness, she walked out of it. And in less than 1.5 years, she hooked this guy. They dated for just 2 years. Now they've done this, what do you call that thing? Introduction. Be bold to walk out of any relationship that you know is not mutual. Are you listening to me? Many of you, the reason why you have not found the right person is because you are in the wrong person. So you need to walk out of the wrong person to get the right person. See, do you listen? Oh, let me tell you. Let me say this. A lot of times in many meetings like this, they talk so much about making the right choice. But can I be honest with you? It is more of management than choice. Because it's right, the same person that you are complaining about get into the hand of the right person, and then you are amazed at what miracle they make out of their life. Haven't you seen cases where somebody divorces another woman, the woman gets into the right hand, 2-3 years down the line, you meet the woman, and you're like, wow, why? What's the difference? It is not the person that is different, it's the person she's now with that is the difference. So it is more of management than choice. So you can actually be right in your choice and have poor management such that the marriage becomes abhorrent to the partner that you are in with. Did you get what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Look at our parents in those days, old days. No intuition, nothing. They just marry based on good family. And guess what? They had more successful marriage than us. What was the history? They just check family history. Ah, we know his mom. Ah, and his mom is a good person. All of them in their family are wonderful. That's all. And they make wonderful marriages. But you have the Holy Ghost. You pray. You were convinced. Yet you still have bad marriage. Were you wrong in the choice? No. What was the problem? Management. Then the last thing I want you to consider before you are certain, very important. I like to call it harmony of belief system. Harmony of belief system is a vital aspect that you must consider before you eventually, tag along with that individual or even think of wanting to spend the rest of your life with that person. Harmony of belief system. Do you believe the same thing? Do you have the same thinking pattern? And I tell you the truth, the greatest solution to this is to marry someone that attends the same church, if not the same, but the church that is a lookalike like yours, that hears the same thing. I don't want to say there's an issue right now that we are seriously praying. I don't want to talk too much of a particular one in this town, bruh. Some of people that are close to me know this guy is a Catholic, this woman is from Christ Embassy, they got married, he's stopped her from speaking in tongues, stop her from, her life is miserable. Listen, I am warning you. Your purpose can die with the wrong person. So, harmony of belief system. And this is not just in the big things, even in the small things. Imagine me marrying to one of those that I mentioned. And then one morning, I just wake up around 2 a.m. and say, "Sweetheart, I feel the Lord. He's saying that our domiciliary account, we should give it to Reda Bonky. They should go and do crusade with it." And she said, "I can hear you. Did you see our calendar? We are going for our 3rd anniversary in Dubai. And then we are going to spend our, the first time you said hello to me, I booked that date. So we are going to Hawaii. And I need to get some Gucci. Oh my God, are you the one that killed Jesus?" You see, value system not the same. That can ruin your marriage. And let me tell you this. Many issues in marriage, they only deal with the surface. They don't know what the issue is. So you see a woman, all right? She has poor attitude to the husband. It's more than that poor attitude. It could be an issue that was not treated earlier. That is now reflected because ladies are actually emotional beings. They are fabricated that way. They will just unconsciously seeing themselves acting in the direction of what they are having a displeasure about. So this thing is very key. Harmony of belief. Harmony of belief. Same thinking pattern. You must have the same devotion for evangelism, the same devotion for the Lord. You believe the same thing. You have the same thinking pattern about everything. At first, it may not be the same, but as time goes on in your courtship, these things can be arranged and be put and be sieved together. And the most brilliant way to do so is to belong to the same local assembly. Submit to the same leader. Can I be honest with you? This is another point I want to make. Don't marry anybody who is not submitted to anybody. There is a man, this one happened in Sokoto. She was in her last trimester. I still spoke to her 2 days ago. I've been so strong for her as though I'm their husband, her husband. She's 36. This man is an aeronautic engineer. He married her. This man is a deacon in church. He left her in her trimester to go and marry another woman in another city. Harmony of belief system. Do you know what now happened? You can't report her to the pastor. Report him to the pastor. He is not answerable to anybody. That is the only problem. He is not answerable to anybody. See, when you see a man who does not have anyone that you can report to, you have seen a danger on two legs walking. You can't call him to order. Like some of you know, my spiritual father will be here in a few months from here. Amen. There are some of you here that are already in touch, like Suzo, you know, and you know his brother too, my friend Captain Michelle. All of them, they know my spiritual father. They can, if I misbehave here, there are people rapport, they can call my spiritual father. That keeps people in check. My spiritual father is answerable to Bishop Francois Loke. Bishop Francois Loke preaches for Baba Adebo Ye every Holy Ghost meeting every year. He's a son, direct son. He's the bosom friend of Bishop Oyedepo. So, my father is answerable to Francis Waleoke. Waleoke is answerable to Baba Adebo Ye. I am answerable to Pastor Sheikh Obaji, my spiritual father. So, I am answerable. Marry somebody who is answerable. Marry somebody who is answerable. Can I hear a big amen to that? Yeah. Any man that is not answerable to any authority, there is no any authority figure in his life. Fire on the mountain, don't run, because what you'll be thinking is anything he does to you, he will go free. He is not answerable to anybody. You can't call him to order. He does not respect authority. He has no pastor in his life. He says he is a child of God. He's talking to God alone. It's a lie. You don't know God. You know God through us. We teach you. We show you God. We show you God. Me, I just have relationship with God. It's a lie. That same God designed a system called a local assembly. And he put a pastor there. Or somebody that, you know, you see, if you are smart, you would know the wrong person. He's in one church, they talked to him or they corrected him, he left there, moved to another church, and that's the person you are following up and down. Your life is in trouble. So let's do a recap. Time is gone. Let's do a recap. Three things you'll be doing during courtship. Number one, develop yourself in the Lord. Number two, interview, ask questions. This is how you build your friendship. This is how we help you not to marry a stranger. Marry your friend. Don't marry a stranger. Like I was talking to one guy, I said, what happened to this girl? You are close now. I said, Pastor, you know what? I know. We are too close to get married. Our friendship has gone so deep that we can't marry. Hey, I just saw you fool. Pastor, no, that one, I can't marry her now. Me and her, I used to go to her room. I don't used to feel anything. We are so good. We read together. We study. Everything is just so cool. No, I can't marry her. We are too close. We know ourselves. We are too... I say, that is it now? Say, we are too close. Have you seen people talk like that? You've seen big fools. We are too close to get married. Hey, you need to marry your friend. The one that you will be eating and you will come and do it. You will pull, say, see as your mess they smell. Even you to your mess they smell. And then you talk, not marry your friend. The one that can spank you and say, don't touch my bum bum. Not the one that. That's why only God can convince me to marry a Yoruba girl. Sorry. Daddy, you are on the one table. That's daddy, your food is on the table. Your husband, daddy. I understand the area of respect and honor because even Sarah called Abraham Lord. There's a place of honor. Alright? For example, now my wife should not be calling me babe. I'm not babe. Can you call me babe? No, I'm not babe. Do you get what I'm saying? So I know the place of honor, but I'm talking about, do you get what I'm saying? Do you know you can actually even, you know, pragmatize all those razzmatazz and yet there's no heart connection? Do you know what I'm saying? There are husband and wives there that they will wear and call, but at night the wife sleeps like this. The husband's, do you know the husband and wife will keep malice for weeks and they will still wear same clothes out? Deception. So ask questions, interview. That will help you build the relationship. Number three is what? Have a corporate financial plan. Start it now. And I also share three other things too for you to consider, to ascertain before you consider an individual. And I said number one is what? Ascertain that the person has what? The fear of the Lord. And what is the fear of the Lord? Final acceptance of God's word as what? Final authority. Then number two is what? Is the law of mutual very important? Then lastly, what? Harmony of belief system. And guess what? Like I said, the most brilliant way to solve this issue is marry someone that attends the same church with you. Or that attends a church that is usual, I mean that is similar. Very important. Were you blessed?
Yes, sir.
I can keep you here all day, but time is fast spent. Were you blessed?
Yes, sir.
Were you blessed?
Yes, sir.
If you were blessed, shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
All right. Today's a special day, so we're not too much in a hurry. So I have 10 more minutes here. So what I want to do now is this. I want to give room for just 4 questions. So if you have questions, just raise up your hand. I'm going to count the 4 people at once so that question is to generate question, and that will keep us all here. I don't want to do that. If you have question, anybody with a question, let me see your hands up. Anybody with a question, I want you to be bold. If you have any question about these things I share today, anybody like that? Anyone? If you do, let me see your hands up if you have any question. Okay, one. Who else again? Just hold on first. I just want so that we'll have all the people at once. So that nobody is one question and generating another question. Just one. Any other person? Just one. Huh? Ladies, any question? Two? Okay. Three? Who else again? Just three. I'll count three and then I'm over. I won't align anybody again. 1, 2, 3. I'll count three and that's all. 1, 2. Another person? 3. Go. All right. So start from the first person quickly.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
My question goes this way. What if you're not bold enough to walk up to a lady?
Fine, fantastic. Let's clap for him, please. All right, next question. Next question, please. The next question is that man there.
Yeah, I've heard people say, especially men, that when you show a lady too much love, when you show her love, genuine love, that they tend to take it for granted. How is it? Is it true or false?
Fantastic. Let's clap for him. Jose, where's the third person? The third person is here.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
You said when you're talking about courtship, that the guy walk up to the lady and t-
tell her his mind. Is it that you there's no closeness before, you just walk up to the lady that you want to marry her? How would the lady just accept knowing that you're just coming for the first time? I don't understand that aspect.
Okay, fantastic. All right. So, praise God. Hallelujah. Now, let me start with the guy that says, what if you cannot walk up, if you are not bold enough to talk to a lady? It's simple. Let me tell you this. Now, this is one of the gray areas. The thing is, this is what happened. This is how it goes. You and this girl, there's already an established kind of closeness. All right? But you don't know how to say it, or you're not bold enough to say it in that sense of bold, not bold enough. Now, a matured lady in that kind of situation knows what to do. You know, there's a way you can create an environment to give somebody the privilege, the boldness to say what is in their mind. Ladies and girls, you know what I'm saying? There's a way a lady can repel you even if you have all the boldness. I mean, you have all the boldness. I mean, when you say hi, she say, I don't talk to people. Excuse me. Do you get what I'm saying? So there's a way a woman can actually make it, you know, you can help the guy to, you know, not that you are putting words into his mouth. Do you know what I'm saying? So in that area, if truly there's an established friendship at first, all right, but you are not bold to say it, and the lady is a matured lady, she knows what to do. You will just be eating one day and she will say, you know what, I know you have something to say, or you talk. What is it? Yes, they are smart, matured, and you too, you are not going to be foolish to take it. You know one of the mistakes some men make? They think that, and that's why many ladies came up with this theory, that if a guy asks you out, give him like 6 months before you answer him, even though when you know he is the one, still wait for 6 months, so that he will know that you are valuable. It's foolishness. I woo you, I just give you maximum of 1 month, you don't reply. Bye bye to yeah boyfriend, no time. Do you understand what I'm saying? So you two should not be foolish to think that just because she has now given you the opportunity to say, you know, you now feel that she's cheap. No, she's not cheap. She's actually being more mature than you. So that is number one. Then number two, learn to pray in tongues. It looks funny, but I've prescribed it to a guy before. He once walked up to a girl and his feeling shy. I said, go and pray in tongues. The Bible says, he that speaks in unknown tongues, what? Edifies himself. One of the synonyms for the word edify, which is the Greek word, is oikodomio. It means to embolden. Embolden. I have never experienced it before because right from my primary school, I was representing the school for debate, quiz. I've always been outspoken. Even my secondary school in Mina, you know, before Babangida's wife died, you know, our school, Elami in Mina, I used to go and train there. I mean, I've been outspoken. I was representing North Central for school quiz and debates. I've always been. So I've never experienced it, but I've seen people who, when they sit down beside the lady, they are already sweating. They need to be praying. See, so what I'm saying in essence is this. Do you get the point? Did I answer your question? If there's an established friendship already, the lady knows how to give you that room, opportunity, to create it to be more possible and easier for you to speak. Do you understand what I'm saying? And secondly, in an extreme case, learn to pray in tongues. Many of these things are product of our upbringing. For example, if you have attended the church before, right from growing up, in fact, if it was the way we are seated today, in some churches is a taboo.
Yes, sir.
So because we have grown that way, there's a way that we have been made to see the opposite sex as something sacredly untouchable, something you can't talk to. I will still do a teaching on feminism one of these days. Amen. We did it last year, all right?
Yes, sir.
You know, and so on and so forth. I hope I answered you. All right, the next question. It says that that if a guy shows so much love. Now, I know the dynamics of that, but that is not a teaching for today. But let me just say a few things. Ever wondered why most ladies, good ladies, good Christian girls, they end up with the wrong guy? Do you know why? One of them is this. Let me tell you. Let me tell you what a woman is looking for in a man. A woman is looking for a man who is really a man. That means a woman needs a man that she can be secure with.
So, and most of these guys that are not serious, they just walk up to a lady and say, you know what, I've known you for a while now, and to be honest with you from my heart, you know, I just want to marry you. I wanted to pray about it, huh? That's all. And he's gone. He's gone. And maybe after he's gone, 3 days later, he sees another fine girl and says the same thing. So, the next day, she sees the guy, and she's like, hi. And the guy just say, hi. God bless you. Or should I just get you a drink? He said, okay, bye. It's all right. Or he just picks her up, you know, from the walk, and then drops her off in her house, you know. That's all. So when she gets him, she feels like, wow, I like the way he is. You know, the way he talks, the guy is mature, he's a man. That's why they fall into the wrong hands. But you that are genuine, you are so consumed in your conviction and your love towards her that you now became a pest. And a woman hates, I don't know if you ladies in there know what I'm saying. 2 a.m., you have seen his missed call. 5 a.m., you're like, every time he's calling, oh, tell you, I love you. Have you seen some boy girl like that? That any small thing, they will even use the girl as DP. So that's why, so it's not as if, so to the guy's side now, he feels, I'm showing her so much love, but she's not responding. The problem is, you know, in economy, there's something we call the law of diminishing return. You know, in fact, in physics, there's something we call breaking points. In physics, you know, when you are doing, there's something we, I was doing many years ago, elasticity. There's something we call elastic limits, you know. So there's a way lady feels when you're just like, you are, there's a way you can show so much affection and care that it now becomes a nuisance. So she starts feeling like, so now she now start thinking, if this guy is so much of advertising how much he loves me, then maybe he doesn't really even love me. Do you get what I'm saying? That's the way a woman thinks. Because now she's not like, if you really have to keep proving yourself, then that means you really even didn't have anything in the first place. So that's the way a woman thinks. So she feels like, yesterday you called me. She will even tell you her friends, watch, you will come in now. I just told you. So all her friends will just be there. They just be laughing at you. So, but that young guy, all right, you know, when I was growing up, let me see, when I was in the university, my 100 level, because I started pastoring at my year 3. In my 100 level, I only see 2 kinds of movies, college movies and Tyler Perry. So I used to remember those college movies, you know. There'll be this good guy in the setting is always like a good guy in the class, in the college, you know, US. College guy, everybody. The good guy will just be winning, and the girl just like, don't like him and so on. But the rough guy, you know, maybe you just say, yeah, I have a party in my house next week. What if I come and pick you up? How do you just come and pick me? Hey, I'm just asking, can I come and pick you? No! And then he switched off the phone. Nearly he switched off the phone, the girl feel like, she now calls back. Oh, you made up your mind? And then you that have seen the movie, you're already angry that, but there's a guy in the class that really genuinely loves her, but she doesn't give attention. Why? That one has become housefly. All the time. So ladies don't like it. Don't like it. So that's why most times the guy will now start feeling like, I've shown her so much love. I you know, I even called her. I sent that text. She can't even reciprocate. What? Because now your care has gotten to a point where now she's not even feeling like, hey, it's fire on the mountain, the way this guy is doing. Did I answer your question? Beautiful. Then the issue of, okay, yeah, that somebody you don't know before just say, I want to marry. Now, the problem is this. There are a lot of guys who are not schooled, and that's why we are doing this teaching. A lot of people have zero knowledge about this boy-girl relationship thing. In fact, let me give you an instance. Do you know that somebody who is almost like 18 years older than me, all right, the way he was acting with his wife, the wife reported to me, I have to show her and teach her how to do it. I mean, how can you be in a marriage with him? If not because I know the man to be a very sincere man personally, I would have assumed that maybe the man is seeing someone else. How can you be in a house with your wife for 8 months without touching her? The man will come back from work.
tired, you just sleep and say, when the woman says, oh yeah, now, you say, please, 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 I'm tired. I have a lot of, and he will wake up 2 a.m., put up his Mac computer, he's looking at the trade, he's trying to call his business in China, things are not going fine. This is what I'm saying. When she reported to me, I have to tell her things I can't share here, amen, how to do it. And very simple, she just had to work on her hygiene, take her date, wear see-throughs, get good light, you know, and stuff like that, amen. But some people already, some guys here, their head is, praise the Lord. So what happens most times is that, I mean, I couldn't imagine that someone like that wasn't that good, because naturally, the lady is scared that if she push it too much, he might start thinking that, why are you so loving sex like this? I hope somebody else is not already giving it to you. Do you get? That can even start giving a word of misinformation, and that can create rifts. Can even start creating the case of, you know, dishonesty and lack of trust in one another. So she was a little bit, she was bothered. So why I gave you that example is to show you the extent to which somebody can be as old as your father, that you expect that this man has been in church for many years and yet he knows no jack about these things. So that's the issue, and it's because in Nigerian church, for example, all right, has been this way, in such a way that things like this, they don't talk about it. So that's the issue. Now, the question is it possible that that person of the truth truly or might love that lady? Yes! Many times, yes. But it's not just well thought on how to go about it. So, and that's one of the things that irritates a lady, that, you are seeing me for the first time. Do you know some guys, you know, the first day they see a lady, they want to collect her number. And the guy is like, I can't just give you, I don't know you. I mean, it's just like, even on Facebook, you see, by the way, let me say this to you, you can meet somebody to marry on social media, all right? The world is so vast and becoming a smaller village now. But the point is, make sure you get in touch with that person physically enough, but it can kickstart through that place. Do you get what I'm saying? So, you know, I talk with ladies who chat me up and they feel like, Pastor, I don't understand this guy. He just keep buzzing in. I mean, this girl puts posts every day. You have never liked that post. You don't, some people don't know how to wet the floor first. You know what I'm saying? So some guys are not smart. You've never shared a post before. You've never commented or contributed something on a post that many people will say, do you get what I'm saying? And then, of a sudden, you just, your first slide in was, I think I love you. I'd like to meet you. I've been thinking about you. I've been praying about you. God has spoken to me about you. And the guy's like, now so? No. And then what next? The guest goes to block him. And then the next thing, you see him on Facebook. Some ladies are uncultured. They have no respect. You can't even be shut up. He's you that doesn't have common sense. So there are guys like that who don't just know how to go about it. But in the real sense, it is wrong for a guy to meet a lady for the first time and then you are ready. And that's one of the things that will also help ladies in the house, guys in the house, praise the Lord. One of the ways you differentiate crush and love is that give it time. Let me tell you, crush goes and comes. See, crush is a feeling, but love is a choice. So this thing they call love at first sight. All right, it can be love, but what we differentiate crush from love is give it time. Would you still feel this same way 6 months later? Would you still feel this same way 1 year later? That's how you know. Someone say, but Pastor, that's too long. Really? Someone you want to spend the rest of your life with? It's not too long, my brother. Give it time. So that's where, and some people, you know, they might feel like, man, they can be so overwhelmed that they just want to just... They just miss it. Do you know you can miss? How many of you have gone fishing before for pleasure? You can see a big fish coming and you're like, oh boy, I'm catching this fish. And then you can be so hasty until the fish runs away. Do you get what I'm saying? Some guys, do you know what I'm talking about? So it's all wisdom. So that's the case.
Praise God. Okay, I know that somebody already has another question. One more person. Anybody with a question? Anybody? Nobody? All right. That means satisfied. Were those questions answered well?
Yes.
Were you blessed?
Yes, sir.
Let's rise on our feet. Thank you, Father. I want to pray with some of you here today. All eyes closed. The Lord spoke to me particularly while I was preparing for this meeting, that there are two ladies in this meeting. Every guy that you've ever dated, in quotes now, somehow along the line, you don't just know what happens. It just doesn't work. And right now, you're already thinking in your mind. In fact, you want to start doubting the fact that you are in Christ. You want to start thinking that, are you really cursed or something? Or maybe is it a family thing or something? I want all eyes closed. And this is a pastoral instruction. All eyes, when I mean all eyes closed, I mean all eyes closed. Now, I won't bring you out, but I just want to see your hand up so that I will be sure. I am very sure I heard the Lord about it while I was praying. If you are in that space, if you are that person, just raise your hand. That's all. You won't come out. Just raise your hand. Let me see you. All right. Okay. I know there are two. You can drop your hand. That's one. Who is the second person? The Lord spoke to me. He said two. He said two. Be bold. Be bold. Be bold. I want you to meet with me later so that I will give you some, you know, materials to deal with. Any other person? I know there are two. There are two. Be bold. Okay, that's good. That's good. In the name of Jesus. Now, those two persons, put your hand on your chest. All eyes closed, please. Thank you, Father. Strangers shall hear my voice. Actually, one out of those two persons, I want to be bold to tell you that there's a demonic influence on it. Yeah, that's what the Lord said to me, that I should rebuke it. In the name of our Lord Jesus, I stand as one called of God, and by the authority in the name of Jesus, I declare that foul spirit of dismenor, that foul spirit of disagreement all the time in your relationship, I charge you right now, you foul spirit fueling that disagreement, fueling that feud, fueling that trouble, I charge you now, lose your grip in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I hear this. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. There's someone here. You grew up with a particular couple growing up. I don't know whether it's your uncle, but somehow, the way they did their marriage made you lose trust completely in marriage. In fact, right now, you suspect every man now, every male figure is a suspect to you. Because of the way that individual treated the woman that you once lived with. I'm not too sure if it's your parent or your uncle you stayed with. But I saw a vision in my spirit. There is a healing going on right now. Can we pray this with everybody? There's an emotional healing going on right now. Yes, this is a relationship seminar, but there's so much the Spirit of God is doing here. Is a healing. God is healing your soul right now. God is healing your soul right now. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Mashatalaba Sobrahati. The Lord is doing a surgery on your mind right now. He's doing a surgery on your soul, on your emotions right now. On your emotions right now. On your emotions right now. The way that man treated his wife, is your uncle or your dad, has affected your perspective to marriage. Thus says the Lord, marriage is honorable. I designed it, said the Lord. Desire it. He says to tell you that, look, I'm bringing in the right relationship your way. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. There's another lady here. Wow. God is doing so much here. There's another lady here. Every guy, they just, you feel so bad that every guy that comes, the first thing they want is they just want to have sex with you. You are looking for love story. You are looking for, you want to build a relationship, but the first thing is that they just want to sleep with you. And that has become so tiresome for you. The Lord says to tell you, He says that experience is over. You are meeting the right person. I prophesy in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, from today, by the wisdom of God, you know what to do. You know how to do. You know when to do. And you know with whom to do. The Lord will orchestrate supernatural association for you in the name of Jesus. Now I declare concerning you right now. Thank you, Father. Yes, I heard this very clearly. Very clearly. Very clearly. There's a young guy here. You have so much issue where the area of sex is concerned. I want to advise you, number one, the first thing is don't miss next Sunday. I'll be talking about that on sex. In fact, wow, thank you, Lord. All eyes closed. All eyes closed. This particular person I'm talking about, uncontrollably, you just find yourself consuming porn again and again. And that has affected your perspective about sex. All eyes closed. If you're that guy, raise up your hand. I just want to be sure. Let me see your hand up here, that guy. Be bold, be bold. I just want to pray for you. Okay, good. Drop your hand. Oh, three of you. Wow, fantastic. It's alright. Make sure you don't miss next Sunday's preaching. Four. Wow. Wow. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now I declare in the name of Jesus. Today marks the beginning of your freedom from pornography. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Those four guys that I see, please make sure you don't miss next Sunday, right? I'll be teaching along that line. It will be of tremendous blessings to you. Father, we thank you for today. Thank you for your word today. Thank you for the deliverances. Thank you for the word of knowledge. Thank you for the teaching of your word in accuracy. Lord, I pray that this word will have an indelible impact on our hearts, an indelible imprint on our soul, and it will propel us into acting in the same way according to your word. In Jesus' name we pray. I thought the church would shout a big amen. Well, give the Lord a shout.
We know that you've been blessed. For further inquiry, counseling, prayer, and partnership, please call +234 8074 0785 66. We celebrate you.